Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo.
They were born under a bad sign. They are Son of Boogaloo. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo! Oh yeah, this one is Season 6. This is Son of Boogaloo. And I am your host, Dan Stanadoo. Happy to be talking about Crank 2 High Voltage. And as usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter.
Honestly, I'd rather stick my dick in a blender.
Totally understand. And as you can hear from there, you can hear Jack Hall.
That's degenerate.
Degenerate. Degenerated, yes. And finally, Nick Boxer is here.
Greetings and salutations.
I love that you've approached the opening as if it was a monster truck rally.
Well, that's
Sunday. You know, it's Crank High Voltage.
When you're talking about Crank 2, I feel like I need to say it like Crank 2 High Voltage just automatically like that.
I think it was a contractually enforced that you must say Crank 2 High Voltage in some sort of monster truck voice.
Well, considering
aside from what this movie is,
it was only Crank High Voltage until it got to the DVD, and then it was Crank 2 High Voltage. So,
that's a dice trivia right off the hop there. I was about to correct them, but thanks for schooling us.
Yeah, Crank High Voltage. Sorry, I'll just call it Crank. All right. Well, Nick, why don't you? Could, please. You've watched this more than any of us. Please.
You know, you may ask me what happens in this film, and I will tell you what doesn't happen in this film. Everything happens in this film.
Well, do your best to explain the story to our listeners.
Oh, you want a story?
Well,
maybe it's Achilles heel.
Crank 2 High Voltage may have forgotten that bit of movie making.
Well, the story actually is really simple.
Crank 2, thankfully, takes off exactly like Crank 1 left off. With hero, Jeff Chelius, falling from a helicopter, hitting the ground, bouncing, and dying. Immediately, some sort of triad members come in with shovels and pick him up off the asphalt and transfer him to some sort of safe location so they can take all his organs and transplant them into something or other. Jeff Chelius seems to be awake during most of this for some reason. I don't quite understand how, but whatever. The only reason he really wakes up, though, is the doctors start talking about transplanting his dick, which causes him to immediately wake up and kill everybody in the room. Then he realizes that, oh, wait, somebody stole my heart. Without really knowing how this works or anything, he decides to go find the guy who stole his heart. and he has an electric heart. By the way, science is really important in this movie. If you don't have some sort of PhD, you're not going to understand all this.
Luckily, Dwight Yoakam does.
That's right.
Yeah. So he calls his buddy Dwight Yoakam that tells him to stay electrically charged somehow. It's not really that important. Just know it's funny. And Jeff Chelios spends the rest of the movie running through interesting obstacles, chasing the wrong guy, which I found a nice little thing. I just love this movie because it never stops. It just never stops with the ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Jeff Chelios has to run through guys with face tattoos and Taiwan hooker emporiums. And he meets up with his old girlfriend who is all sweet and pure in the first one. And now she's a stripper dating Corey Haim in one of the best white trash disguises you've ever seen. He teams up with his buddy who died in this, or the twin brother of his buddy from the first one who died in the first one, who not only is his the twin brother of that guy, but has full body Tourette's. By the way, I looked it up. Not a real disease.
Not a thing. I love the fact that you looked it up.
God bless you for looking it up, yeah. Though. I so appreciate
that. There is nothing in this movie that isn't goddamn awesome.
How many times have you seen this film and the original Crank?
After Crank 2 came out, I have not gone back to watch the original Crank. Crank 2 is superior in all ways.
You disagree, but go ahead.
I'm going to jump in and say I have never seen the original Crank.
Neither have I.
You've now seen Crank 2. You don't have to see Crank 2. Was anyone confused by the plot?
I think I had seen like 15 minutes of Crank. I know I didn't finish it. I know that I watched part of Crank and then went, oh, I'm over Jason Statham.
So how many times have you seen it? You answer the question.
I don't know, 40? Oh, God.
And yet you can't do a better job explaining the story.
Who could?
I'm surprised you don't have it fucking memorized.
So the idea is that he's got this artificial heart. It's got a battery pack that runs down really quickly. When he loses the battery pack several times during the film, he has to just shock himself in any way possible to get his heart going. Once he takes that shock, his heart pumps really fast. So I'm now furious at my doctor who's been giving me medication to lower my blood pressure, because apparently higher blood pressure gives you superpowers.
Yeah, I know, that's right.
I feel like I've been robbed for a while.
Maybe you just need a heart transplant to give you a fake heart, and it's what will do it.
Inconvenient to constantly be giving yourself electric shocks, but
especially the way he's constantly having to do it.
I mean, there's give and take in everything in life, and superpowers might actually be worth that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I love it when friction is decided is the way of of giving you.
Yes, everyone knows about the static electricity that is caused by having sex. That is like your hair stands up on end. That's
and your heart starts beating really fast.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely skin on skin causes the most static electricity one can imagine.
Because or more to the point, rubbing up against an old lady without you like touching her.
Well, like she was wearing like a wool sweater. Like, I mean, that one actually made sense. I mean, in the context of Crank, that one made sense.
And the person he rubs up to before that, the lead singer of Linkin Park.
That's right, Chester Bennington. Yep.
Yep.
That's awesome. So there is a point where he's at a horse racing track and does not have access to electricity to get his heart running again, and he gets a hot tip that Friction from Dwight Yoakam that Friction might be a solution to this. So he starts rubbing up on stuff, and then he starts having sex with Amy Smart on the horse racing track, And I don't know where security is at this point because they're there for a while.
Oh man, they are, and like they're getting thrown a cowboy hat, and like the moments of that are amazing.
I mean, they could have just left it there, but no, they have to have a horse with a boner jump over them.
Yeah. I love what she gets really, really turned on by seeing that horse boner go jump across them. Yeah.
Well, so this is a throwback to the original movie where there's a scene where they get off a bus or something like that, and in the middle of like a market downtown Chinatown, they have sex in public to keep his heart going. Because in that one, it's just that he has to keep the adrenaline going, whereas this one, it's all about the actual electricity. So yeah, I mean, so this was literally. The sequel sex scene.
Well, and they keep mentioning it. They mention it a lot. Like, you know, this guy's left you, after this kind of thing twice now. And it's just like, must be from the original. that was how I explained everything. Maybe it was better that I hadn't seen the first one, because then any little issue, I was like, must have been in the original.
I truly enjoyed how the newscaster, they summarized some stuff with the news guy who gave up any pretense of like being in a news report, because he's just swearing away.
John DeLancey? Yeah. Man. The amount, it was shocking the amount of people that wanted to be in this movie for whatever reason.
I love it. Yeah, I want to be in this movie. What are you talking about?
There's MMA guys. There's move for musicians. There's porn stars. You know. By the way,
I have never seen a list of uncredited as long as this film. Yeah. When you look at IMDb, there's more uncredited people in this movie than there are credited people.
Yeah. There is. And
the
porn
star she gets locked in the back of the car with. Is that somebody?
I think that was just a hooker. I don't think that's the porn stars are. That was just a hooker.
The porn stars are on strike.
Fellow stripper. That was a fellow stripper. Yes. The porn stars are on strike. And then they have a bunch of real life porn stars and them saying what would be their most famous clips that were played on the Howard Stern show, except for Ron Jeremy, who apparently wasn't invited, but heard about it and figured they just forgot to invite him. So he just showed up and they figured they'd shoot him. So he improvised. Good trivia right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this movie makes the no sense. just from going,
but it's so on purpose for it.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, that's it, right? Everything about this movie is ridiculously planned out to give you this. Like this is like a video game brought to life, which actually then was reduced back to a video game and shot. That's almost what it feels like to me.
And there's a billion references to the Grand Theft Auto series throughout it. So the first three Grand Theft Auto series games, including the outfit that Jason Statham is wearing, which is practically one of the characters.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Bei Ling yet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. She is my favorite character in this movie. With lines like, you go get revenge, I hug all the pussy for you. talking in broken English, dirty language for the entirety of the movie. Running after Chepchelius for no apparent reason.
It's so broken it has to be subtitled all the time. And the subtitles make no less, I think they make less sense than what she's saying.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, and that's one of my favorite elements in movies is when they have people speak in another language and it comes out to be something ridiculously silly. There's room for great humor in there. And this one did not disappoint in that regard. Not at all.
Oh, and I mean, Chocolate was great too. Dwight Yoakam's girlfriend there.
Well, Dwight Yoakam, I think he's a pimp, isn't he, at this point? And that's one of his, it's not so much his girlfriend as his girlfriend slash one of his.
I don't think it's explained, and I don't care. There is so much going on in this movie that's, well, I mean, I'm glad they got her up off the couch to go get, John Carradine for
Boom Dong, yes.
Yes, John Carradine's last film role.
Dave
Carradine's last film role. And it's this.
Oh my god, I stood up and applauded when I saw David. I recognize the voice, but before you even see him, the voice.
Yes,
and of course he's in
Freaking Yellowface.
Last film, and it's Yellowface. It's somehow appropriately incredibly awesome. It's just amazing.
Now, was there a third one ever made of this?
No. This one was not successful enough.
Tragic.
I always kind of hope they'll have a direct-to-DVD sequel, because the way they ended it with him, Bert, but beyond recognition, you don't have to get Jason Statham.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you can get anybody to be in this thing.
Go ahead.
Well, if it was somebody else, it wouldn't hurt the franchise ultimately, because it's already fucking batshit crazy.
No. And the other thing is, though, that this is these guys went on to make the two Ghost Rider films. And so when I saw that immediately, no way. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
that's awesome.
One Ghost Rider film.
Both of them.
Did they make both?
Yeah.
No, they made Jonah Hex and the second Ghost.
No.
Looking that up, but okay.
Well, either way, that's not selling me.
No, but as soon as you hear that, then you know that you know, it totally makes sense that they're doing that, right? Like you can see the correlation.
Well, according to Nick, according to Wiki, Nick is right. Jonah Hex and Spirit of Vengeance.
Uh-huh. Are you sure they didn't have something to do with it?
Apparently, screenwriters of Jonah Hex, directors and camera operators of Spirit of Vengeance.
And nothing at all to do with the other one? Nothing?
Not on Wiki. Not
they,
on,
they
not
did do Gamer, which is also awful and bug nuts.
I'm looking this up
our listeners have now watched Ghost Rider and are shouting the answer.
Yeah.
They were able to fit in all of Ghost Rider
while we're having this discussion. And if they have, I'm sorry.
Well, it's better than watching Spirit of Vengeance.
Well,
I don't know.
Either of those might end up in a comic book season for sure.
I tell you what, both of those I'll take over Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex is, oh man, we don't want to get into it because we're talking about another movie, but maybe
memorable moments for that one.
I've seen it,
and I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right, where are we at with this thing?
I have no idea. Does anybody?
Goddamn, Dwight Yoakam is probably is my second favorite character in this movie, because I love Baling. Baling's amazing, but Dwight Yoakam, who does all of his scenes in one room on the phone.
Yeah.
It is basically the info dump of the movie. Every time Jeff Chavalos calls him, he's like, "Let me give a long speech explaining the quote unquote science of the movie."
Which is exactly what he does in the other one.
And so the first time Chef calls him up, he's like, "Hey, something's happened with my heart. There's some weird box attached to me." And Dwight Yoakam's like, "Oh, that's the Fliberty Gibbet heart replacement. Here's everything you need to know about that, because I just know off the top of my head all of these things." By the way, I could replace that if you get hit me with your original heart again.
Because I used to be a heart doctor before,
The vaginal, my wife's unsuccessful vaginal
yes.
Seriously, is there a line in this movie that does not contain awesome?
One of the interesting things, as I was watching this, now, this movie reminds me a lot of the Japanese action films, you know, it like say a Tokyo Gore, Police, Robo Geisha, stuff like that, where they don't care and they just throw everything that's absolutely gory, perverse, crazy, bizarre, all that stuff into the script and put it on screen for you. And
by the way, I just got to say, Nick, you're wrong. This film has nothing. They have nothing to do with the first Ghost Rider.
I think you need to. You owe him an apology, Nick.
I think so, Nick. Where is my apology? Anyways, what were you saying there? Sorry, Stan. Go ahead. I just have to get that in there. Anything is wrong, I'd love to bring it up.
There you go. But yeah, this reminded me so much of one of those Japanese movies that I actually thought that the director was going to be Japanese, and then it was just like he's just kind of transposed that storyline. So when it wasn't, I was kind of surprised. But it has that real feeling to me of just batshit crazy all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right down to the kaiju monsters.
Oh, for sure.
God, I love that.
That was the best scene in the movie. Without any question, that is the best scene in the movie.
Let's tell him about the scene. Set the scene.
Chef Kelius finally catches the guy who doesn't have his art, and they start fighting in electrical plant, and then for some reason they grow into giant monsters and fight, and then when the fight is over, they revert to some sort of human form again.
But those monsters are like the... Jason Statham's face, an exaggerated monster form, is some kind of amazing. Like, some kind of, wow.
Yeah. Oh, the chin.
Yeah.
It's just, this is so great. It's seriously so
and
great.
I love how they never tell us what's in the box.
No.
it's the same thing that was in the Pulp Fiction box.
Yes. I was kind of hoping it was a ferret.
And honestly, it is the same thing, because that's the thing about this movie, is it's really just a pop culture blender of other things, you know, of a billion other things. Like I say, the porn star actors, they're dropping lines that are famous from clips that played from pornos on the Howard Stern show, because that's pop culture. There's
right.
The GTA, the like all of it. Like, it's just, that's all it is. It's just pop culture from, what was it, 2009, just in one crazy, make no sense film, you know, blender. Like, put together, like say, literally put together in a blender.
I love those, like the weird left turns where it's like it's crazy enough, and then like there's the Toho-tastic giant monster piece. There's the weird news breaks. There's a flashback to his childhood that is played out like a talk show, like a Maury style talk show.
With Jerry Halliwell, no less.
With Ginger mother. Spice as his mom.
Yeah.
Which I honestly, I didn't catch at first.
You know, who he's like 5 years older than in real life, but hey, I guess that doesn't matter. It was him as a kid.
It's him as a kid, but it's him on a talk show as a kid.
But it's not just him on a talk show. That's some actual talk show that he is. Like, I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's a real life talk show that they're parodying.
Nice. there's a spot where, like, when they're having the sex scene on the horse racing track, their genitals are pixelated out. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
It's so
that's
like
good
just
stuff.
Drawing attention to like the weirdness of what you're watching. There's a spot where they do this cut. You know, like where normally you would go, like, you know, 4 hours later, and it's 9 seconds later. Like they show you a 3 second black screen that says 9 seconds later.
I like, love just... that. Yeah. Like it's totally. I mean, it's a crazy. Like, it's going to be really interesting to score it, because, like, it's WTF that is so on purpose that it's not WTF. Like, it's, I don't know where to go with this. Like, I really am curious as to how this will turn out and how you guys will see it. Cause it's an experience, if nothing else.
It absolutely is. We should go to scoring.
Well, let's go to scoring. I've got some stuff circled for WTF. That's for sure. all right. In our search for the ultimate B-movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, I feel like this one was pretty schlocky. You know, that it had some moments that some people would consider schlock. It was very over the top. And it was, you know, it's funny because as we go through some of the movies from this season, especially, you know, we had Son of Kong, and then we had like this really high Flesh Gordon, and then we go American Psycho, it's down a little bit, and then we've got Crank 2, High Voltage, and so it feels like we're really bouncing, but I'm going to give this one an 8.
Yeah, I know it. You have trouble putting a number on it because was it schlocky? They definitely have everything in it, but it wasn't really marketed. Well, it was marketed terribly. That's the box office was so incredibly low.
Well, it's such a niche that product. It really is.
Yeah,
it's the problem.
You know what? I'm just going to give it a 7 because I mean it has a whole lot of schlock, but. I don't know if it all comes across.
And again, this is one of the things, like sometimes, like nobody's going to watch certain movies and not say it's schlocky. Like nobody watches Frankenstein Island and says, oh, that's not schlocky. Like it is. And you guys are saying you think there's a fair amount of schlock. And I think there's very little schlock. I think there's a ton of sleaze. And that's not necessarily the same thing, sleaze and schlock. And that's it. There's so much sleaze in it, and I feel it deserves a little credit for that. So I wish I could score it higher. I can't because it's not schlocky. But I mean, because the actual schlock, I'd probably give like a 3. But because the sleaze level, I'd give a 15. Because it's just so sleazy. I'm going to give it a 6 because I feel like it deserves some credit for what it is, even if it's not what we normally count.
I think I'm probably coming in that ballpark, and then they put David Carradine in yellow face. So 8 is what I'm going
back to. It's all the people that are in it that really give you the number in my mind.
Yeah, there's just like there's a lot of subtle stuff. I mean, yeah, a lot of it's over the top. But it's like you said, it's just so much stuff in a blender. All right, the next category we call More Heart Than Budget.
Well, you know, everybody seemed really into it, especially as they were going through the some of the outtakes. There was certainly, you know, an amount of fun and I'll bet you this movie would have been an absolute blast to be on set for it. Just the sheer craziness and stuff like that. But in my mind, like there's no, like everything is so planned out that I can't say that there's a lot of real heart that's going into this. I'm just going to go down the middle with a 5 on this, just because I'm, you know, it's a sequel, so you know, I'm not quite sure that it hit any one mark.
To quote the movie, "Suck my dick, suck my motherfucking dick." 10. There.
Oh, Nick, you could quote this movie left and right and center.
Much is a great quote. It's a great quote in that moment, in that way.
Is Nick allowed to give this a memorable moment for having seen it 40 plus times?
Good question.
There are interviews that exist with the two directors that they realized that their career was up the paddle during the filming of this movie, so they just decided to let it all hang the motherfucking out. They wanted to do everything they could possibly do in the movie because they might not ever get another chance. And they were successful.
Yes, they were. If you look at it that way, they were successful. Wow. 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 That's awesome. I am I'm all. Anyways, I guess I could give this an 8 because, like, honestly, $20 million budget, and sure, there is a bunch of like amateur filmmaking mistakes, like things like, you know, director in the shot, or you know, or yeah, like stuntmen in the shot, or special effects into the shot before they happen, like markings so that they can put in the special effects after, all that type of stuff. Like, there's a ton of that stuff.
How about the director's cameo, man?
Well, and yeah. And I'm not even talking about the cameo. I'm talking about the time that they're in the corner of the shot and you see them running away and pulling out their ear pierce. So there's lots of that stuff. Like, it's just like totally amateur made. On the other hand, $29 million budget, and it really looks like a far more expensive film. Like, it looks good. It looks slick. It looks like a big budget film. And $20 million for, like, that means that I think it had less budget than what Flash Gordon in 1980 or whatever. So that's pretty damn impressive. I got to give it an 8.
All right. Well, I thought there was a lot of heart to this, but 20 million is still, you know, like 10 different Grindhouse movies.
That's
so, so I came in at a 6 on this one.
Yeah, I could see that.
Our next category, and I get permission from your wife to run to take today off from taking care of the kids. WTF moments. What the fuck moments?
Well, now here's the interesting thing. I'm not gonna like spout off a whole bunch because I mean the entirety of the movie was crazy, but you know, this is one of those cases for me where, and I know Nick has talked about it before, where like the established universe has put in the rules, and also, you know, as Jack talked about, the fact that everything is so, you know, planned out to be what the fuck and crazy. So therefore, to me, it's actually, as I'm watching this, I just got to a point where everything was so crazy, my expectations were completely dropped, and I just watched it with kind of a like, wow, oh, so that's what they're doing now. I mean, make no doubt, the kaiju thing is awesome and amazing and crazy, but a lot of the other stuff is just batshit crazy within the context of the movie. I'm going with a 6.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm not going to insult you on this one. I disagree with a lot of, I disagree with it, but, yeah, I'm only going to go as high as an 8. Don't get me wrong. The WTFs that are there are awesome. The flashbacks. I mean, when the kid with the full body Tourette's is introduced as a twin brother, and we get flashbacks to the club, and the fact there's no real reason that the sadomasochistic gay bar biker gang is in this movie, but they are. And the shootout at the end where you have hookers and porn stars and Chinese triad members and some sort of Mexican cartel gang all shooting it out over a pool. And then they introduce the villain from the first film as a head in a tank.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Hell no, I'm going with a 9. I wanted an 8, but yeah, 9. I forgot about the tank until the head in the tank until I said it. There was no reason to put that in there, but it was awesome.
But that's the problem with this film, is there's every reason to put everything in there, because it is on purpose saying, let's make a film that's crazy. Let's make a film that's WTF. And so it's,
I don't think I make all films like this. All films like this all the time.
It's a, like, don't get me wrong. Like, the first movie was far, this one's far more over the top in the first movie, which I, like I said, I prefer. And I did watch before watching this one as a, like, you know, as a thing to kind of get into this. It's everything on that one is over the top, but it's, there's a sense of reality to it. Whereas in this one, they just throw that out right at the beginning. And that's probably where the WTF for me comes from, is like, it's that it's the continuity, but it's not. It's like, it's just bigger in every way. I mean, literally the movie starts with where the last one ends, is he lands bounces off a car after falling out of an airplane, and bounces on the ground. And there's a close up on his face, and his eye blinks, so you know he's not dead. So this one it follows, and then they say like 3 months later, you know, he's in the hospital, and they're pulling out his heart because his heart's amazing, and it's going to go into the yellow face David Carradine, and number one, they also the next thing they're going to pull off is his penis. And that's where he's like, well, then you take my heart, but my penis, fuck that. I'm getting up and out of the bed. And that's because they lift up the bed sheet and see his penis, and then stick which apparently is amazing from everybody's reaction, almost at the level of that horse on the track. They stick up a thermometer up his ass. Then he jumps out of bed and is wearing underwear. And that's where I'm immediately going, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But to me, it's more that the idea that not that they're taking his heart out or the fact that he lived through the fall. It's that the fact that apparently there's no other injuries, no broken back, no broken ribs, no broken anything else to his body, and falling and bouncing off a car from 20,000 feet. Like, that to me is a remarkable WTF. See,
you're forgetting a couple of things there. He's Jason Statham.
And he can turn into a kaiju monster.
And he had 3 months. There's very little Jason.
Right, your back will totally heal if you fall 20,000 feet. It wouldn't be broken. You wouldn't be paralyzed for life. He's Jason Statham. I'm sorry, I forgot. Like,
well, he took that martial arts training where you break fall. You know, he probably smacked his hand on the floor, on the ground, right as he hit. Just transfers the energy.
That's right.
You're
fine.
And you know that car he bounced off of, that was probably like a foreign made jobby, so that can't hurt him.
True.
It had new shocks.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And maybe airbags.
Not to mention, I mean, he had to stick the gun up that guy's ass in the next scene.
How did we not mention that? How did we make it all the way to here without mentioning that a guy gets a shotgun shoved up his ass?
Oh, yeah, because how did we forget something that happened in this?
Who says I wasn't going to mention it? I'm in the middle of my WTF, guys. There's the one where, of course, the fact that, like I say, of all the continuity errors or whatever, the one I love the most is the bartender who gets shot, who in the next shot is in the background with the blood already on her face to get ready for the fact that she's about to be killed in what's clearly going to be shot next. So there is enough, like, things like that where I'm like, wow, that's just not competently made to give me a good WTF score, despite how on purpose all this is. So I'm going to give it an 8.
8, you say. All right. I'm just going to say some words here. Shotgun up the ass. everything Bei Ling. Highlander. Yellowface Carradine. And my favorite incredibly subtle thing. So he's getting the heart transplant, and he is in he's got the worst HMO in the history of medicine. He's in this back room of a massage parlor.
That is great stuff.
Where they've parked him for months apparently. While he gets this heart transplant done. On the wall is the X-ray of his chest that his name is printed on. So that, and it says department photos. So this isn't just a back room. This is the real medical department of this massage parlor, because they have an X-ray machine and identifiers on their stuff. And then,
well, if you've been to one that doesn't, then you've not been to a good massage parlor.
there's the rub and tug, and then there's the one where you can get a heart transplant done.
Yeah, so, duh.
I've been going to the other one.
You've been going to the one.
You've been going to the rub and tug one?
And my, well, there's two, and I'm not saying which one I went to, but I have my heart. I have my original heart. And then there's the bit in the, so with the big shootout at the strip joint, that one of the strippers gets a bullet through her fake boobs and the the saline spurts out.
I forgot of that. Both dents get right through.
it catches her just so, and she's horrified to see.
People wonder why I love this movie.
Oh no, we understand why you love the movie. We're not saying that.
So I'm going with a 10 on this one. All right, memorable moments.
This is one of those cases where I feel like I'm going to at random remember things from this. Perhaps it'll be like a flashback moment, you know, kind of a PTSD kind of thing, where it'll be like, oh my god, Baling,
you know,
but like
you know what, Baling was awesome.
Because
you'll list this and nothing else.
Yeah. It's so true.
She was awesome in The Crow.
Okay.
She was in The Crow.
Wasn't that like The Crow 2?
No, thing? She was in the original Crow.
Oh, okay.
Well, sure. Oh, yeah, but I don't think she was awesome in it. I think she was in it.
I agree she was in it.
Yeah. She was hot.
In it.
Oh. She's an attractive young lady, that's for sure. Well, I guess attractive, age-appropriate lady.
Yeah. I'm like...
Like there's and see, like there is no question, like when I think it, like the giant kaiju monsters will never leave my brain. I can guarantee that. Jason Statham's chin, you know, that's glued in there now. There's other moments that much like the video game L aspect of it, it's just little fraction moments here and there. The story itself, I'll undoubtedly forget in no time after this. But the memory of the batshit crazy will remain. Again, I'm going with a 5.
Do I need to quote this movie once again? 10.
Yeah, please quote this movie again.
Well, I mean, you've undoubtedly had it memorized, given every amount of time you've watched it.
You hurt my strawberry tart. Yes. Failing alone is a 10 in this movie.
All right,
Jack.
Well, you know what? I gotta say, all due respect there. I remembered this movie to a degree. Like, I remembered one thing about this movie when I watched it before. I remembered saying to myself, "Oh wow, Jenna Hayes," and that's it. Was one of the porn stars. But I remember totally her scene. She looks so hot. I can't say I remembered anything else about this movie from when I saw it last time, which is what I'm judging it on this time. And I think the problem with remembering things, specific things, is too much is thrown at you. So I got a 5.
Yeah, always a challenge when there's so much. And when I, now that I will go back and watch Crank, it's going to be hard to pick out like which movie was that in. Baling was awesome. My favorite line was, "I'm in no mood today, Randy." Like that. All right, 5 for me.
Did you guys think Corey Haim looked like Gary Haim in this movie?
I did not. No. I did not recognize him.
Didn't recognize him at all.
Yeah, no. Obviously, it's probably his last film too.
No, he made 7 films between this and his death a year later.
Wow.
Wow.
I think it was 7 that I saw on his IMDb.
Because he did not look good in these films.
he looked a little rough there.
What was his cause of death, by the way? What was the, I don't remember.
It was drug related, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
Yeah. Six credits. After or 5 credits after this movie, and he died like about a year after it came out.
But definitely his last theatrical film.
I don't know. Was Shark City theatrically released, or The Hostage Game?
I'm saying no.
By the way, I got to say this now. I mentioned that I didn't remember anything except for the scene with the porn stars. How did I forget the when we introduced in the first probably 15 minutes of the movie? It's just Amy Smart in a pair of tight shorts and topless, except for electrical tape over her nipples.
Like, why did they do that?
I love it.
How
love
are we it. Not talking
what
about
kind of, what the hell kind of strip joint is that?
Great.
Like, what state are they in that they can have stripping but not nipples? I love it.
I just thought she had a little. I just thought that was a personal choice from her.
I remember seeing the film Four Rooms, and there's the same thing where, like, I think it's Alicia Witt takes off her top and she's got electrical tape on her nipples. And I was told at one time that it was some kind of fetish, and then I found out later it was just a ratings thing. Like,
yeah,
just,
an age thing. Yeah. Or like,
yeah, she was too young or something. Yeah. Like, that was it. There wasn't any kind of like hidden meaning to it or anything. It was just like they didn't want to mess with ratings, or she was under 19 or something like that when she did the movie. Crazy concept. Crazy concept. Stan.
I mean, this one to me, it goes all the way because they put everything into it. There's no way that I could try to explain this movie to anybody else in the universe without like my own mind melting down, because it's just like, okay, so Jason Statham's a guy and so his heart gets transplanted because Poon Dong needed his heart and so now he has to hook himself up to like a car battery and he has to jolt himself. Yeah, fuck it. Never mind. It's 10.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. 10.
You've made a compelling argument.
Like, I was trying to explain it to Shanna, and I just realized, and then there was Kaiju Monsters, and oh my fucking God, what am I doing here?
Like, you know, I also tried with Lacey, tried to explain it to Lacey and my wife, and I'll be honest, I only mentioned things that we have not talked about in the entire episode.
The ironic thing is, you probably didn't sell her, and she'd probably like this movie.
So I think she might, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's not a crazy concept. I'm sorry. It's not a crazy... Like, the first one's probably crazier than this one in concept. This one's just... It's a sequel. It's not crazy at all. It just took what it did, and it's a crazy execution. There's a difference between crazy concept and crazy execution, but it does...
The fact that he spends the entire movie chasing the wrong guy...
Yeah, that's just crazy. That's just crazy script writing. It's crazy execution, but that doesn't mean it doesn't deserve some credit for being crazy. So I got a six.
Six, you say? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm coming in the midst. I think it is a sequel, so I'm not going to go all the way to a 10. However, the amount of stuff that they threw at the audience in this film and the times that it just takes a total left turn, like the talk show, I'm going with an 8 on this. And every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film has 2 of them. It does have a continuing vision. It is the same creators of the original film. And we do see quite a lot of the supporting cast, even supporting cast who died in the first one, come back. So that's, you know, definitely worth it right there. Now, normally I'm a stickler on the modifier for this movie running over 95 minutes. But I took a look, and because of the amount of weird bloopers, and there's a mid-credits scene to finish the film, and then there's like strange bloopers. The credits of the end credits of this film start 12 and a half minutes before the end of the movie, which is an insane length. That's like the amount of credits on Infinity War. Like, that's for a 96-minute movie. So I'm only gonna call this a 95-minute movie because I'm being charitable there. So that brings us to a grand total of 77 out of 100, which puts it in the top 10, just out of the top 5 or 6 there.
Wow.
So very well performing. Comes in just right between Hots and Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Strangely appropriate.
Sorry, what was the score one more time?
77. 77.
Okay, that's actually pretty close to what I predicted it would score to Stan a few days ago.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, the one thing I didn't mention was the Mike Patton soundtrack, which was a largely what the fuck moment as well. Because
it's great, yeah.
I had no idea, no idea what was going to happen with the soundtrack at any given time.
Mike Patton, the lead singer and a leader of Faith No More, in case people aren't familiar with him. So,
I'm going to watch it again just for that now.
Yeah, 41. Wow. You're going to watch it again? No way. Oh, crap. All right. Why don't you tell the folks where to find us on the interwebs before we get into choosing next season?
Oh, yeah. All right. We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And we keep track of our ongoing search for the ultimate B-movie on our podcast sponsor, We Talk Podcasts. Go on there, take a look for The Octagon, and you will see all of the films we've done so far. It's about 60 films, Stan. About 60 films so far.
Sure, or 45.
Well, somewhere in that range. Mileage may vary. We Talk Podcasts has a Facebook and a Twitter. Like them and follow them, and you can find out what we're up to from them.
All right. Well, what does everybody say? Do you want to tell the folks what we're doing next, or do you want to choose next season?
Tell them the next film first, and then we'll go from there, I think.
All right. Well, the next film helped give us our name. It is Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. So, you know, this will be the first time for me seeing that, and I'm actually really excited. I don't know what to expect at all, especially after watching Crank 2. You know, I feel...
Also the first time for me.
I feel
first time as well. This is going to be interesting. Yeah.
Nick, have you seen this one?
I've seen this one.
Well, I mean, hello.
I almost could have guessed.
His name is Nick. Have you met him?
Yeah.
That's true.
Is there a Boogaloo movie that he hasn't seen?
You know? I love a couple of days ago, Jack sent us an insane trailer for a J-horror movie. And he's like, this thing looks insane. And Nick said, yeah, these are the other ones by the same director.
This is what makes Nick Nick. This is what we appreciate.
Why we love you, Nick.
Yeah.
All right. Let's choose season 7. What the hell? Season 7. This one might put us actually over 50.
I don't know what you know about math, but yes.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what you know about math.
I can't remember what season number. That's the problem. Yeah, I know my 7 times tables, but not what season we're in.
Don't you need to know your 8 times tables?
No, I know it's the Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's do this thing. Do you want me to go first again?
Sure, Stan. Why don't you start?
All right. Well,
you know what? I got to say, normally, I know we go in that order, but the thing is that last time Nick won, he won this season because he accused us. He said it's going to be easy to win again if you guys bring the weak sauce that you brought last time. For that reason, you know, Jim, you promised that this week you would bring some formidable sauce.
I was supposed to bring the hot sauce.
Maybe we should get Nick to go first since his won last time.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so I think
Jim should go last because he has formidable hot sauce this time. Okay. And Nick, though, gets to go first because he talks shit about us.
Fair enough, yeah.
All right, bring your sauce. Let's
I got hot sauce ready to go.
You do.
Hesitate going first because you guys are going to feel so bad after I go that your presentations will lack any enthusiasm.
You know? I don't think Nick
do
actually
we
has
do
anything.
That to the show.
Yes.
Because all he's doing is just talking smack.
Oh, this is a guy. This is a guy right here who was unquestionably, trying to avoid the moment. So let's.
Alrighty, I am calling my concept, Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, presents free mustache rides.
What?
Well,
I want 8 films that star the greatest mustaches in cinema history and the men that wear them. If you have a movie...
We're already so far ahead of last season's concept.
Oh, my God.
If you have a movie starring Lee Van Cleef, Burt Reynolds, Richard Roundtree, Charles fucking Bronson, this is the season to bring it.
So you mean we could do Quigley Down Under with Tom Selleck?
If you think the mustache is a quality mustache.
If the mustache fits.
And the movie is boogaloo enough, bring that movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. I'm
you can't say I didn't warn you.
Man, I'm not sure. I think
I got to say, Nick, you're a god to me. You are officially.
Oh my God. All right, give it a shot on following that up.
All right, man. I'm not going after that. I want to be the next guy to go to follow that up.
How about I go? I'm willing to go.
Okay.
I.
Oh my God.
I withdraw.
No, you can't withdraw.
No. All right, I'll give you my concept.
Oh.
Okay. I'm man, I wish there was like another. I wish Brad had sent in a concept. This guy could just read his next.
Oh man.
All right, I'm calling my concept Dollarama. So, you have to go to a dollar store or liquidation store and find a movie that is available in hard copy at that store, and that's what you bring to the season.
Only one movie?
Well, it's a bit tricky because you got to get at least two. I mean, you got to bring two, but you know, if you end up at the same kind of dollar store as the other guys, you may have to actually shake this out to find a third one. I don't know how that would work out, but yes. God. Dollarama is the name. It has to be a clearance store. So it can't just be a cheap movie. Can't be a used store. Has to be a liquidation world, a Dollar Tree, a clearly discount label store.
Wow. You know, Dollarama is good. That's good as a concept. For finding Boogaloo, I think that will definitely get us to find some Boogaloo. No question. So that's good. That's good. I will go next. So I call this one. I remember I'd shown you guys earlier the app. It's also a website. It's on Xbox. It's on your phones. It's on PlayStation 4. And it's more Boogaloo per second than any human being can possibly handle. And that's the 2B website. And so I mean, I'm sitting there looking at the movies on this and thinking, I'm sick and tired of having just one or two movies to challenge Ninja 3. I want a season where there's a good shot. We have 8 films that can put it aside and knock it out of the top spot. And I think this is how we do it. I mean, I don't care if you want Roger Corman's Death Race 2000, you want Bus Party from Hell with Tara Reid, you want Manimal, you want some trauma films, whatever it is that's Boogaloo that you have thought of yourself, hey, it's probably out there. This insane website, Tubi, has it. And we talk about it. If you want Reynolds, you want Stallone, you want Norris, you want Reynolds, you want all these legendary Bronson, you want all these legendary characters, this website has it. In fact, in some way, I think we could combine this with Nick's into a season for what I'm calling personally To Be Decided.
I will tell you right now, my choice for a mustache season is one of them is on to be. So,
wow, the lobbying has really started here.
Man, although that is really broad, there's no question about
that. And that's part of the thing that I think was a success is I like it, the idea of it being broad, of not being limited to just the just one genre or one thing, and like the mustache thing is broad too. What's good about that is it opens it up so that we can really find a film to knock Ninja 3 out.
Yeah, and if we go with the mustaches, I have to say, I believe it'll attract women listeners.
Wow. That would be a first.
We wouldn't know what to do with those.
Oh man. Okay, let's move this along. Good Lord.
Oh my God.
All right. So I will give mine now. And it's
so?
you've heard of fake news. Well, this is fake sports. In the tradition of something like basketball, there's lots of crazy movies out there that have, you know, sports that are invented generally for the movie, and some of them are as boogaloo as hell. So that's where I'm going with this one.
Ooh, I could watch future sport.
That's right.
Not the rollerball movie.
Oh, yeah, no, but we could watch the. But yeah, isn't there that one?
We don't have to watch the rollerball movie, but we could watch the rollerball movie.
And there's that one with Patricia Arquette. Isn't there that one where she's skateboarding or something?
Yes. And yeah. See, there's because there's so much room.
There's so much room. The Roller Boys.
That's it. I knew you'd know it.
Oh yeah, it stars Corey Haim and is awesome.
Well, I think we've got four actually better categories than we had last time. Now this is, how do we decide? Do we vote? Do we discuss? What's the next step here? Like I'm, oh man, these are going to be great. I think you can't vote for your own, but if we do a vote thing, but yeah, what's the next?
I don't know.
Does anyone not want to vote for their own?
Yes.
So well, I think we take that vote. And
I think Free Mustache Rides is too good a title. I mean, the concept is awesome, but it's the title alone. How do you make that not happen? All right, that's what I'm voting.
All right, Jack, what are you voting for then?
You know what? If I was to, I love that idea. I do. What was yours again? Jim?
I had the Dollarama.
And the reason, the only, I think we'll find some great movies that way. I just don't want hard copies of anything in my house. That's why I'm not voting for that. So,
I know. It's tough. Yeah.
As much as I really do like the mustache one, but I like the idea of the sports one, man. I think we could find some cool stuff there. So I'm going with that.
All right, Nick, where would you vote?
Just because I don't think there are enough sports movies, nonsensical sports movies, I would go with my own.
Fair enough. With our own.
I was thinking that we wouldn't be allowed to vote for our own, but
your own is the point.
In that case, I would go with the Tubi. The Tubi exercise.
Tubi decided. We will find amazing movies on there. Hell, I was watching a movie on there yesterday called Debbie Brisson Confidential. Gentlemen, you can't imagine the greatness of this movie.
All right. Well, I guess so that means that we currently have a vote for everything except for the Dollarama. So I would really throw us off if I voted for the Dollarama right now.
Yeah, but I know you want hard copy things even less than your house.
It is very true. That is the number. That is the one that I am least likely to vote for. So I guess it all comes down to me, and I can't vote for my own. So
Tubi or mustaches.
Tubi or the mustaches. Oh man, that is really, really hard.
Do you remember their first album, Tubi and the Mustaches?
It's classic. Do you remember?
And their backing band, the Electric Boogaloo.
yeah, their big hit, the Face It.
You know, it's funny because there's a part of me that wants to choose the Tubi one simply so that Nick, you know, doesn't win after his smack talking. You know?
That friggin' title, though.
But the title.
Like, it's not just the concept. It's
I had the concept title a week ago. The rest title of the week was coming up with a title. I've got 7 or 8 mustache titles if we ever want to do this again.
Well,
but you know what? I think the thing is, we don't want to be picking the same guy over and over again. We don't want to have, so that to me could be an issue with the season.
Yes.
You know?
Although if you keep bringing weak sauce, it's going to happen. Over here.
Wow. Yeah. See, there's a lot of guys with mustaches. No. And the second that you brought up some of those guys, I instantly thought of some movies that I really want to do.
Most of those guys, movies that I mentioned are also on Tubi.
Oh, yeah. And I have no.
I am willing to add Tubi in there. I have no objections to watching all our mustache movies on Tubi.
Free then mustache
another
rides
nice thing
on
about
Tubi.
Another nice thing about Tubi, I'll just say, is I try and sell it to the deciding vote there. The other nice thing about that is that all our listeners could actually easily follow along because it's a free website available to everybody or free app.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, the decision has been made with the sales job of, we'll do mustaches on Tubi. So there you go. It's mustaches on Tubi.
All right. I mean,
ooh, and the free works in there too.
Does Tara Reid have a mustache? I really wanted to watch Bus Party Ride from Hell.
Hey, does somebody
upstairs? She doesn't.
I'll bet somebody in it has a mustache.
Oh, it has to be a great mustache. It can't just be any mustache.
All right. Okay. Well, we have chosen next season 7. I don't know what the fuck we're going to call it. We'll worry about that for season 7. I know it's got mustaches. I know it's got Tubi. We're going to have a great time as usual. So we're going to keep going with season 6. Man, I don't know how we can do anything after that, but we're going to keep going with season 6. Hey,
episode 8, when we get to announce the movies, is going to be so great.
So crazy. But next episode is Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. And I hope nobody else has anything to say. So for Jim, for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
My name is Jeff Chelios, and today I didn't die. It's Storm Warlord. Why not just let me die?
They were keeping you alive to farm your organs.
They gave you an artificial heart?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many bars is this battery charge?
One.
You got 1 hour. Keep your body electrically charged to keep it pumping. If you can get hold of your heart, I'm reasonably sure I can put it back in.
Just me. Nice.
I'm so confused. Where have you been? I thought you were dead.
That wasn't right, was it? Hola, Jim.
Did I duck?
Yeah. That's not so bad. You're gonna tell me exactly who's got more heart. I'm running on empty, Doc.
Find someone to rub against. It causes static electricity.
He treated me like his hot little whore.
Hey, that's a little too much information.
They got what you need in pristine working condition.
So this is how it is. I give in. Oh.
unidentified man is responsible for the explosion of mayhem, murder, and lewd behavior that has swept Los Angeles.
I know how this game works.
Your associates have taken something of value to me. I intend to get it back.
Those things aren't designed for strenuous activity.
Tell me about it.